Thank you, girls. Welcome. You guys can all sit down. Thanks for being here. And if you're tuning in from home, thanks for being here. Nicole is hosting, so if you have a prayer request or want to ask her a question or something, you can do that private chat. Also, send an email to Gail Hill if you have a prayer request too. We want to be praying for you, ladies. Last week, Emily left us with identifying our need. So whether you were able to identify a need or not, we're going to look this morning at what we do with that need once it's identified or not identified. How can we be victorious like David was victorious? And are we looking to God for the victory, or are we trying to do it on our own? As we look at David's victories today in 2 Samuel 8, I couldn't help but reflect on the victories in my life. So we want to take that into consideration today. On Sunday, it made me think, when we did Lectio in church, the sentence that stood out to me was Jesus asking, "What do you want?" And he asks us, because he's a gentleman, what do you want? He wants to meet us in our place of need. And sometimes we know what that need is, and sometimes we don't. I wore my holy jeans this morning because I was thinking, we don't like our life to be distressed. We don't like it to feel torn or frayed, right? We want it to look a certain way, like perfect and put together. But Jesus sees through all of that. He sees the needs that we know that we have, and he sees the needs that we don't know that we have. And last year, in the middle of this pandemic, I was feeling like, as a nurse, I have a need to return to hospital nursing. I was so mad, really, at God that in the middle of all of this, that I was sitting on the bench. And so I believed that that was a need that I had. And I took it to him, and I prayed about it, and I didn't get a real clear answer. And then I got to this place of peace just where I was. And so maybe it wasn't a need for me then. And then just Monday, I got the most amazing phone call about this opportunity that is perfect for where he has already brought me to with my skill set and all of that. And I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. Like, that is just a little mini victory to me. And he does that. So maybe because I updated my resume recently, when I was reading 2 Samuel 8, it reads to me like a resume, like David's resume. And we know where David has come from. And so his objective would read something like, man after God's heart, seeking to make God famous. And the other thing that we know in what we have studied of David's life before, we know his background, we know his experience, the different positions that he has been in. So he's a shepherd boy, he is talented at music and poetry, he was an armor bearer to the king, he's a giant killer, a warrior, and then we see king of Judah and king over Israel, and then chapter 8 gives us this list of ways that he has been victorious. After that, we see kind of his community service or volunteer section. He has given everything back. Anything that he has been rewarded with, he gives back. He dedicates it to the Lord. And then at the very end, there's David's officials listed. And David's officials would represent his references, people that he would have appointed or who would have worked under him, alongside of him, people that would have been able to attest to his character. And it says there was an army leader, a recorder, priest, secretary, and his sons. That those would be his references. But the thing that stands out most to me in chapter 8, and it says it more than once, the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. That David has victories, we have victories in our life, and What David does, he's generous with those victories because we can be generous with our victories. We want to show the world what he is like. We are like walking references for Jesus. And just like a resume is designed to make you stand out and set you apart, that's what Jesus does in our life. He meets us in our deepest need, and the way that we live life with him and experience him, we are references for Jesus to the rest of the world. So today we're going to put together kind of a little reference letter. Victories are God's promises done in God's power, and they're personal. So today we're going to look at how victories are personal, they're promised, I've just mixed this up a little bit, powerful, because they're all kind of woven together, but they're also generous. These victories are generous to us, and so we're going to see what David does with that, that he is generous back, because victories have purpose in the kingdom. The purpose is to give God glory. Our purpose is to give God glory. And so starting with personal, I want to share with you some personal victories in my life. With my favorite necklace that I always wear, it was a gift to me from my sister-in-law. She didn't know she was buying these specific charms. She gave my name to a group of women who prayed over my name, and they selected these charms. So my sister, Jen, didn't know what I was getting, and I didn't know what I was getting. But when I opened the box and I saw the word overcomer, I was like, how did they know that that is my word that speaks to my life? And so I've taken each one of these charms to share with you the victory that it represents to me in my life, but the promise that is in there for you too, because we want to hold on to the promises of God. So the first one is the dove. It is the symbol of peace, Jesus' peace that transcends all understanding and shows me how he can bring peace into places in our life that we don't even know that we need peace in. So this, to me, is around unforgiveness. I have spent more years of my life alive in a place of unforgiveness than I have not, and it was because of things in my childhood that I felt were unforgivable. And I thought, I will wait until that person acknowledges what they have done wrong and they say that they're sorry. And I was adamant that I wasn't going to forgive until then, and until I studied the book of John and saw Jesus in a situation where he was treated so unfairly, and he forgave what seemed unforgivable to me. And it became personal. He gave me peace in that. Through healing prayer with the help of Jasana and years of him just softening and moving my heart in that direction, he gave me peace in a place of forgiveness that I didn't know that I really needed. And there's this promise in John that he promises he is going to give you peace. The hope and anchor is that my hope is anchored in Jesus. And this scripture from Isaiah 41, 9 through 10 is where my story is anchored in, that this victory shows me that God is for us. He is for us in our deepest, most personal need that we have. And this was a need that I knew I needed. The most hurtful memory from my childhood when I thought that God didn't exist, that he didn't see me. He didn't know what I was going through. I felt that maybe he had abandoned me in that. And he showed me where he was and what he was doing. And he was holding me up with his right hand, which I didn't know was significant because I didn't know scripture to know that. And he tells us in this scripture that he is the one that chooses us, he plucks us out, he calls us to himself, and he promises that he is going to be with us, that he is going to strengthen us, hold us, help us up. This is a victory for us, that he is so personal in meeting meeting those needs that are so hurtful in our story. The key symbolizes power, that we have power and authority. This is a victory for our family, that we have power and authority in the name of Jesus. Some of you may be familiar with the story of my son Sam, who's now 13, having had nightmares for 7 years. He was tormented with nightmares. And this is where God grew me in prayer, to realize the importance of prayer. There was a book that I had read called Praying Circles, and so I would pray circles around our house. I would pray at night for Sam's dreams to be protected. And each time I prayed, Sam did not have a nightmare. But I didn't pray every night because I didn't think that I had to. I doubted. I was afraid that if I prayed and God didn't do what I wanted him to do, that he wouldn't be who I thought he should be. This book was really helpful to us, called Moving Mountains by John Eldridge, and it still is. It's like a reference book for us to give words to things that that we didn't have words for. And he says in here, Jesus wants us to become his disciples in knowing how prayer works, to deepen our understanding of how God works in the world and how our prayers can make a difference. When our small group came together the night in Sam's room, Sam wasn't there. He didn't know that we were going to be doing it. And we circled up, and MA, my husband, led us in prayer. And we went through the act of submitting ourselves to the power and authority of Jesus, of reconsecrating our house and then consecrating Sam's room and breaking any agreements that we had partnered with and seeking forgiveness in those, and then sending any evil spirits to Jesus, to the foot of the cross, for his judgment. Sam did not have any more nightmares. From that night on, he'll get a random nightmare if he stays up too late, you know, like basic children nightmares, but this was not that. This was more ongoing. So Jesus gave us victory in our family, and he gives us victory in our family. He tells us that we have the power and authority in him to overcome the power of the enemy. And then overcomer. This is a victory for all of us. It feels very personal to me because it feels like that's my word. But this speaks to my life from my childhood of when my mom died and all of the things that happened that God has shown me that he helped me overcome. So anything that comes at me, I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That is for all of his people. And so I was thinking about this when we talk about victories, and how do they make you feel? Because sometimes I'm like, I take it way too seriously, and we should all be doing a victory dance. You weren't expecting that, were you? We could just leave that on there. She's so cute. But I feel like we should be doing this victory dance. And I feel like sometimes I'm so serious about it. And it is serious. I don't take it lightly. But I think it's worth dancing about. Here's some more promises. Those are kind of hard to see. Deuteronomy 24, Romans 8:37, and 1 Corinthians 15:57. That we are promised victory in Christ, that he tells us that we are conquerors. So, do you believe, out of all of those promises, do you believe that those promises are for you too? I think sometimes we can identify a need, but we aren't sure that God is going to do something about it. And I know that's where I was with Sam's nightmares. Because we waited 2 months to tell him what we had actually done in his room. I wanted to see that, like, he's not going to have any more nightmares. I didn't want him to doubt in God's power. And I think sometimes half of the battle for us is knowing that what we read here in Scripture and about these victories and what you hear in other people's stories are for us, that they're for you. They're for all of us. Our victories are led by prayer in alignment with God's promises, done in God's power, and they are personal. And David knew some things about the Lord. I pulled back Psalm 20, verse 7, and then we're looking at Psalm 108 this morning, too. But David says, "This I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from the heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And we see that in here. They're fighting with chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of Jesus. And then in Psalm 108, "Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies." These are things that David believed. He knew in his heart to be true. And so this is how he prays. Where Emily left us in 2 Samuel 7 is David's prayer, that he's praying into the promises of God. And he is asking him to be who you say you are. Stay true to your character. He says, "Keep forever the promises you have made. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Not so that my name will be great, but that your name will be great. But I need you to do as you promised." Have you ever prayed that prayer? "God, do as you promised." I've prayed it in a variety of different ways, and it doesn't always turn out how I think it will. Surprise! The one time it did, I can't forget it, where it blows you away. It was around a 15-year argument with my husband at May. And I got to this place where I prayed that prayer because I didn't care about being right anymore. I cared about God making it right. And it was a change of heart. And he didn't have to do it, but he gave us victory in that. So chapter 8 starts out in the course of time. And in the course of time, we see that David defeats the north to the south, the Philistines, the Moabites, king of Zobah, Arameans, Edomites, and it says he defeats, subdues, strikes down the enemy of God's chosen people because the Lord gave him victory. And if we overlap that with Psalm 108, we see that God is powerful. Psalm 108, verses 7 through 9 specifically, that God is powerful, he's a promise keeper, and he's purposeful. Verse 7, we see that he is the one that created everything. He created all of the land, so he has the power, he has the ability to divide it up, to, I think it says, parcel and measure out, however he desires, whatever he sees fit. But that he's a promise keeper because within that, how he has divided it up, he's going to keep his promise to the Israelites. He says, "Gilead, Manasseh are mine, Ephraim my helmet, Judah my scepter." That he is the one that measures and divides it all out how he wants, but he is going to be the one to rule and govern over it in his power. And in verse 9, even with the enemies that we see David has defeated here, that there is purpose in those too. That he has purpose in everything. Moab, Edom, and the Philistines. So Moab and Edom, they're described as wash basins, or wash basin and a shoe holder, respectively. So Isaiah 16 and Obadiah 1 speak specifically to the pride in each of those nations. And so David is alluding to them being brought to this position of humility, not humiliation, but humility and purpose, that they are a place where you wash your hands and a place where you set your shoes. And then Philistine, that we're going to shout triumph over, because doesn't it feel like we've been fighting with them forever? So to be victorious, we are going to rely on God. And then what do we do once we have that victory? David does, when you can do the victory dance, David does two different things. And the first one, it says he puts up these garrisons. There are multiple garrisons but in strategic locations. He puts it in the Aramean kingdom, which is up north, and in the southern end in Edom. And a garrison is like a military post. It's a guard station that its purpose is to protect and secure land. This is applicable to our life too. When we have victories, we can put up garrisons in our life. That we put up these boundaries to protect, to guard our heart and our mind, to make choices that help us stand firm with Jesus. An example of this, in regards to Sam's nightmares, is we discovered over time when we would go stay somewhere, like a VRBO or hotel or whatever, if we didn't go through that act of submitting it and consecrating it and breaking agreements and sending evil spirits to the foot of the cross, that Sam would have a nightmare. He's like our spiritual thermostat. And so we have to apologize to Sam. We're like, how did we forget? Why do we keep forgetting? But that's an example of what it looks like to put up a garrison in our life, that we keep at it. We don't put our guard down because there is a victory. So how do you put up a garrison? You can barely see that. The first thing is understanding enemy's tactics. You have to know who your enemy is and understand what they're after. So John 10:10, I'll read it since you can't see it very well. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We understand who our enemy is and what he's after. And then we dress for battle. This is in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. We are told to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. That we're putting on all of this armor as a way to protect. But at the very end, we are holding our weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. So our weapon that we have to fight the enemy is prayer. So we learn how to do battle. We spend time letting the Lord grow us in prayer. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David's victories are led by prayer in alignment with God's promises done in God's power, and it's personal to him. These victories would be personal to him just as it would be personal to each one of the Israelites. God meets us in that place that is most personal. And then the other thing that David does that we see here in Scripture is he is generous because he recognizes that everything that he has, everything that he has been given, including his victories, have been from God. And so he gives it back. It says he dedicates it all to the Lord. Victory is generous. God gives us a victory that we don't deserve. And David recognizes that when he receives all of these rewards, all these possessions, things that would be of high monetary value, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to keep the gold shields for myself, but I'm going to give the Lord the silver and the bronze. He gives it all, because all of it was given to him. And it says that David became famous. He is trying to make God famous with his words and his actions, and he happens to win the favor of God and man in that. He is also generous with his relationships and with his time. If you look at verse 15, it said, David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all of his people. We can't do what is just and right for others if we don't understand them, if we don't build relationship, if we don't take the time to get to know them and understand what their needs are in the first place. To do this, to be generous in this way, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and off of ourselves. This victory isn't about us winning, it's about God winning. And we happen to receive benefit of healing and wholeness, but we give God all the glory because he is the only one that's worthy. And David is generous in his praise. Psalm 144, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress." That David's acknowledging, I'm going to praise you. I know where you have brought me from, that you have trained me up in the way that you have wanted me to go to this point, and that you're going to subdue these people under me. That it's not David's power. He recognizes it's God's power in his life. And he says, "I will praise you, Lord, among the nations," in Psalm 108. But in verse 5, he says, "Let your glory be over all of the earth." That is his desire, that God would be glorified. That's our purpose. And David recognized that. He wants to show the world what he is like, so he wants God to be glorified. We told Sam, I said, the 2 months after that he didn't have nightmares for those 2 months, and we went in and we told him, and he asked a couple of different questions, like, "You were all in my room? Like, that's weird." But then he asked me a really hard question, and he said, "What took you so long, Mama?" And it still breaks my heart, because what took me so long was my own doubt and my own fear, my hang-ups that I had. And it's different when it's my life, but when it's my son, I said, "Never again." Prayer is important. God is the one that gives these victories. He gives them to us. He gives them to David. And we have the ability to do what is just and right for all people because he gives us the ability to do what is just and right. David's victories remind us that victories are promised, that we are victorious when we rely on him, and that we can be generous because he was generous to us first. So our generous praise is like the reference letter for Jesus, attesting to the world what he is really like, what is true about his character and his goodness. And that's what I wanted Sam to know. I wanted him to know that God was for him, that his goodness is in his life. I didn't want him to be left with those 7 years of wondering and then believing in lies from the enemy and having to work through that. I want him to know what is true, that God is powerful and he is for him. What do you want others to know about Jesus? If yours said, "In the course of time, the Lord gave," fill in your name, make it, "victory over." The Lord gave, Wendy, victory over. What would it say? What would you list as the victories that he has given to you? The ways that he has been generous to you? That's what we do. What we do with those needs that we know or that we don't know. And some of you might be like, "I don't know. Maybe the answer is not yet." And we pray into the promises that we are given. But with the needs that we know, we do what we see here in the scripture, that we ask Jesus to meet us in that need because we know that he is personal to us, that we can ask. We pray the promises of God because God is for us. rely on and walk in the power and authority of Jesus because he is powerful. And then when we experience a victory, we share it because other people need to know who God is, that he is generous in giving victory, that he is generous in giving a life, an abundant life. We are all overcomers. That word is not just for me. We are made to be victorious. And I don't know about you, but I want to have the same objective as David did, that I would be a woman seeking after God's heart and trying to make God famous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you initiate with us first and that you are the one that gives victory, a victory that we don't deserve. We ask that you would help us walk in to that victory on this side of heaven. We know it is sure, but help us believe it from our head to our heart and to walk into that, to learn and love the promises that you have for each of us in Scripture, and to grow us in this school of prayer, Jesus. We ask that you would do that boldly because we want to make you famous. We want to share with the world what you are like. Whether it turns out how we want or not, give us a heart that praises you. We love you and we thank you that you make us victorious daughters. In your name, Jesus, amen.